Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Wednesday. Kyle Brusten Nordman across ESPN Wisconsin. Except there's no Kyle Wallace. There's no Brad Nordman. Sliding into the captain seat or co-captain seat is Alex Strofe, hot off of Mr. Irrelevant. I don't even know what to ask you. I say, say something, Kyle. What's going on, Brad? Strofe?
Good afternoon, Benjamin.
Oh, boring. unoriginal.
Were you about to call me unathletic right off the rip?
Well, I might not have to call you that anymore after what I witnessed in person yesterday at American Family Field. I did make it in time.
Good for you.
For both Greg Gard and Mark Tauscher's first pitch.
If it was just Tauscher, had you made it on time?
Yes.
You would have?
For some reason, I thought they happened way earlier than they did. They're still pretty close.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes,
yeah,
right?
I thought they were 10, 15 minutes, and I cut that close. But when I got in there, I was like, huh, National Anthem? Are they doing it after? And they were. So you got Ben Brust and Alex Strofe with you today. Chris Larson running the show. Hit us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. We're also available for you to see our beautiful faces at YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And look, I mean, we got to start with the news of the day because I witnessed Mark Tauscher's first pitch yesterday at American Family Field before the Brewers game. Big shout out to Coach Greg Gard, who joined Kyle Brusten Ortman yesterday. Didn't even mention that he was throwing out the first pitch. Didn't even mention that he was going to be joining Jeff Levering and Rock on the FanDuel broadcast.
Yeah.
A lot of love for Coach Gard. He threw an absolute seed, as Tausch said with us yesterday. He wasn't expecting to throw a seed. But Gardo put one right down the pipe, full of confidence, let it rip, and it was a great pitch. Then comes Mark Tauscher. And let me tell you, the way that everything was announced was very interesting because by the time Coach Gard was already on the mound, he was like about to pitch and they were introducing him, so they were like cheering, but they also were ready to watch the first pitch. Tausch got a full introduction.
Yeah.
Full introduction as he was trotting.
So he was after Gardo?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was after Coach Gard. Maybe a little pressure after seeing what Coach Gard did throwing out the first pitch.
I mean, if you watch the video, you can see very evidently from every angle, the one you had up way up in the suite, the one whoever behind home plate was recording, and probably Jesse or somebody, I don't know who was there. You can see on the Jumbotron, Tausch walk out to the mound and take a very big exhale.
Oh, he's feeling it, no
doubt.
And
that's not because he was tired, folks. That's because he was nervous as hell.
And look, I get it. Part of this, I'll take responsibility for. I put a lot of pressure on him yesterday as he joined us because you've done a lot of stupid stuff embarrassing us athletically.
Yeah, I'm an expert in this
category. As a company, that I was like, someone's got to redeem us. Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio threw one out, double bounced it. And Tausch goes out there, and look, I'm thinking to myself, this is old T, man. This is old T. Old T's got confidence. This man went to state basketball for Auburndale. I'm hearing about his Auburndale baseball days, although he was a pitcher. I mean, we know his pickleball playing. He's got great hands, great feet. And I forgot to mention, he's a Packers Hall of Famer. He's a very athletic, agile athlete. Great feet, great hand-eye coordination. And I was pumped. But I did start to feel a little bit like Tausch wasn't confident when I saw that sigh and the trot out onto the mound. And he spiked it. He just dead spiked it. It reminded me of what has been going on in Major League Baseball. There have been a couple of pitchers under investigation for throwing balls on the first pitch of their relief pitching. And literally missing it so bad that they're now getting investigating for gambling. It was that bad of a first pitch, yet he didn't have to throw it as hard as those
so
guys.
What are you implying?
I'm not implying he did it on purpose, because after listening to Tausch this morning, I'm one disappointed in Tausch's throw. just from a pure competitive standpoint, because I know Old T is a competitor, and he's a proud fella. Disappointed in the throw. But, as we know, life happens. Sometimes you don't bring it. He didn't bring it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I listened to Wilde and Tausch this morning, because I was very eager to hear Old T talk about it. And it just was kind of like sad. It was so sad. He sounds like a beaten man. He's not 70. He's not in a walker. Like, he sounded like he needs a shoulder surgery. Like, dude, it was a bad pitch.
Yeah.
We should be comparing you to 50 Cent. We should be comparing you to all of the worst first pitches in the world. And he tries to throw a little twist at it and like, oh, ha, ha.
Excuses galore.
Have you seen, have you ever heard of this type of first pitch? Here's Tausch earlier this morning on Wilde and Tausch.
Right in the strike zone on the hop.
It was right on the hop, yeah. I think that's still called a ball.
But no, it was definitely a ball, yeah.
But my
you think?
I just don't. Was it because if Gardo throws from the edge of the pitcher's mound on the grass, are you still going on the mound?
I was going from the mound from the jump. Like, it was going to happen, even though I knew in my heart of hearts, and I obviously got inundated with texts, most of them pretty fun. One of the guys that I coach with said, I need a bullpen session.
That Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch. He then proceeds to say that, have you ever seen a cricket pitch before like that? Something that bounces so perfect, and the guy who was catching it said, that's the best one hopper we ever had. Cricket pitch? Strofe! The thing was in the left-handed batter's box after the bounce.
It was bad. And look, we love Tauschy around these parts.
I love Old T.
Love Tauschy. That said, I've never heard a man so accomplished as an athlete make so many damn excuses for a pathetic performance.
I'm looking at Mr. Pathetic.
Yeah.
Mr. Pathetic. Well, I got a list.
If anybody's an expert on this category, it's me.
I got a list. You did the worst three-cone combine drill literally in the history of the NFL combine outside of one player who had a better...
No, the three-cone. The entire combine was the worst. The three-cone was by far the worst.
Your 40-yard dash, you only had a faster first 10-yard split than one player ever.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
So, bad. Regardless, bad. Your first pitch, not at the Milwaukee Brewers game. Obviously, we love the Lakeshore Chinooks.
No, the pressure to make excuses for myself, which I haven't done yet.
No,
I'm going to make excuses to myself real quick. To make excuses for me, had there been more pressure, I wouldn't have thrown it as hard, meaning my first pitch would have actually come down a little bit, and it would have been better than Tausch's, even though it might have already been better than Tausch's.
It was better. You throwing it over my head was better. Your home run derby on social media, off of a tee, despite you claiming that you hit some bombs.
I hit two.
You also hit the tee and didn't hit the ball.
Several times, with it being
just sitting there.
I did that more times than I hit home runs.
You've whiffed seven times at a golf ball before.
I did. Yeah, that did happen.
And you have showed up chipper as ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm disappointed from the reaction to the throw. Like, if Old T needs a hug, I'll give him a hug. I'm starting to feel bad. Like,
yeah, he's hugged himself. He's sitting there living in his, you know, what's the saying?
It's a pity party.
You live in a throne of lies, or you're sitting on a throne of lies from Elf. Like, that's what I felt like listening to Mark Tauscher this morning, because a grown man like myself comes out and owns it. I wasn't good enough. Did I ever once say, hey, that was the greatest two home run derby off a tee in the history of the world? That was the greatest overthrow in the history of ceremonial first pitches in the Northwoods. I didn't say any of that.
Now,
it's the greatest one-bouncer cricket pitch we've ever seen.
I got to protect you for a second, because Tausch is going to say, well, I owned it. I said it was bad. Yeah, you said that, and then you made 70 other excuses around the entire first 17 minutes of the show of Wilde and Tausch. So he'll be like, well, Strofe, he didn't pay attention. I owned it. He said he was a Truman about it.
You know, he referenced Joshy tweeting he's going to be a Truman about it. He then said, I'm going to be a Truman about it, and then said, but it was the greatest for one hot pitch in the history of first pitches.
Which it wasn't.
I've seen better.
It wasn't good at all. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why we're trying to make a one bounce spike into the grass, not into the dirt, into the grass, into something amazing.
Yeah.
I appreciate the spin zone, but I gave his resume, man. I think everyone is giving you crap because we believe in you and expect better from you.
We have higher expectations. We have higher expectations. And
Mr. Wisconsin.
That's the thing with me. I've actually done a great thing for myself. I have gotten to the point where not a single soul in the history of the planet has any faith in me to do a successful athletic venture. So I actually think I live in a much better space than Tausch, because Tausch, knowing the competitor he is, and I heard him say at some point today, I'm gonna need a beat. I need to take a beat before I try again. He's going to try again.
I don't think he will.
You think he's retired from ceremony of first pitches?
Absolutely. He should not.
Well, hold on. Here's what we need to do then. If it's not a Brewers game, we need like our friends at the Mallards to do a bobblehead night for him, where he has to throw out the first pitch.
Well, so now he throws it into the grass and he gets a bobblehead? We're rewarding poor first pitches for a bobblehead?
No, what I'm trying to say is we need to bully him into doing it again.
Let me tell you this about old T. You, Alex Stroff, are not going to be able to bully him doing something.
Not me, just the idea that I had could bully him.
Guess what? Jason ain't going to bully him into doing something, and Jesse Nelson sure ain't as hell. Ain't nobody telling old T what he's going to be doing. He's going to make that decision for himself.
Right, but
I like the idea.
But if a baseball team was to come out and say, hey, Tausch, we'd love to have a night that we honor you.
Told you there's been people that have already reached out?
Oh.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, I'm not going to share the details because those are working behind the scenes. I'm not going to be making decisions for people if they want to or want to take the offers that are on the table.
But you're telling me there's an offer for him to do it again on the table?
Yes, because of course the whole world was watching this first pitch.
Yeah.
And great fans and listeners that watch and listen every single day were locked in to old T.
Wow.
And great baseball game, by the way.
Good win. Not a great baseball game necessarily. It wasn't very competitive. Heck of a win by the Brewers.
I don't care about competition. I care about what the Milwaukee Brewers do. Freddie Fastball having 10 strikeouts and the Brewers taking advantage of a really bad pitcher for the Angels and a team that has a horrible lineup out there that's quit. You need to take advantage of teams that quit, especially that the division is, in my opinion, wrapped up. You need to set your sights to the Phillies, which we'll get to another time. But yeah, I mean, look, I didn't think the day would come that Stroff would be more relatable than Mark Tauscher.
Oh, wow.
And you've handled your disappointments with grace. I know old T is a proud guy, like I said. But I don't know, the whole woe is me to this morning, I don't know, it just didn't feel like old T. So if something is deeper, I'm putting out an olive branch for a hug to the big fella.
Yeah, look, I texted him last night. I said, Tauschy, if you need anybody to talk to, I am the foremost expert on things like this. So I'm happy to offer any advice, the hypothetical or, the hug via the phone, whatever he needs, I'm happy to help with him there. But at the end of the day, I'm used to losing. I'm a loser. I don't think Tausch is, and that's why today turned out the way it did.
On the Carbless Talk and Text Line, Steve must be a Tausch defender, which there are some, obviously, because people love Tausch. Talk about spin zone. Tausch didn't say it was the greatest one-hop throw. The guy who caught it said that to Tausch. Tausch owned up. Stroff, stop stooping down to Ben's idiocy. Tausch mentioned that the guy said that because Tausch was trying to get you away from the fact that it was a horrible pitch.
Hold on. Me and you for a second, Steve. Me and you. You think the guy actually said that? Or you think Tausch just made it up to defend himself?
Well, and even if the guy said it, he was being a nice guy.
How many other one-hoppers happen at AmFam Field where that guy's catching it and he goes, greatest one-hop I've ever seen?
Robin Madison chimes in. So senior league slow-pitch softball at Platteville wants him to throw out the first pitch.
That's the offer you got on the table?
No, it's not, but that's what Rob thinks. Josh and Kenosha, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Text Line on old T's first pitch.
Hey, guys. I unfortunately missed it, but I did catch the aftermath this morning on Unsportsmanlike across ESPN Wisconsin and nationally. So Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman had a very interesting theory that he botched it on purpose.
I had that initially, Josh. I actually appreciate that call. I texted Stroff. I was like, I had to. It was so bad that I literally had to think, like, why was it that bad? Because I don't expect that from old T.
I was wondering if that was the approach he'd take this morning. Guys, I did it so we could talk about it. I did it for the visceral reaction, although quite obviously not the case. That's what I thought maybe the approach he would take. But no, he's better than that. He owned up to it, kind of, sort of, not really.
That's exactly how I would put it. He owned up to it, kind of, sort of, not really.
And, you know, And to be honest, if that was the approach he was going to take, that was the approach I was going to take today at 2 o'clock. Guys, the farce is up. My 40-yard dash actually isn't that bad. My three-cone drill actually isn't that bad. I was just doing it to make a stir. But luckily, not the approach Tash took, so that's not the approach I'm going to take today.
But it was like the middle. It was the most middling of taking ownership over something bad I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And that's not the old T way.
Wow, you really are disappointed.
I am. I mean, you saw me. I was there. I was recording. I was pumped for our guy.
What'd you say to Coach Gard after his pitch? How do you do? He threw a strike, right? Or pretty close to it.
I was like, great job, Coach. You gave me a thumbs up. You know, like he clearly has the confidence up there.
Yeah. Yeah. What a back-to-back lineup that was.
Yeah, great show before the game and great showing from the Brewers during the game.
That's a heck of an evening in AmFam Field. You're going again tonight, aren't you?
Going back to American Family Field tonight.
Benny baseball.
Just
this
love
week.
The Angels so much. Yeah, you know, apparently. I've been waiting all year to continue to go to the last couple games and make sure I catch you. Mike Trout suck and the rest of the Angels stink.
Yeah, they're very bad. I'm going tomorrow. So hopefully it's for sweet. But we've got me and you, Brewers Angels experts.
We get Hopefully it's just Brewers experts because we don't need to think about the Angels as they chase down the number one seed. But congratulations to Tausch because he did have a great day with UW Credit Union, a great partner of the Brewers and Tausch, and they did a lot of great things. But just sad overall for ESPN Wisconsin as we continue to show the lack of athleticism as Kyle Wallace last week on Thursday ran into our Gina Della from Pella, trailer. You've had plenty of blunders, and now we got to add this to the resume. It's Kyle Brustin-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. No Nortman, no Wallace, but Nortman has said something that sticks with me a lot. He's done a lot of research in the last five seasons of how many all-pros do you need in order to make a Super Bowl. Now, it's week two, but we've had some performances that make you when you're looked at as one of the top three teams in the league, and you beat two teams that went to NFC Championship games in the last 2 years and one that won 15 games last year. You can take a little bit of what you saw and put a little stock in it, in my opinion. So I think we should do the All-Pro tracker. Starting next on Kyle Brustin-Nortman, we're going to see who's in line for these 4 to 5 All-Pros because that's usually what you need to get on your team to get to a Super Bowl. We'll hit on that next. I said, baby, how'd you get with my head? All right, this is the last thing I'll address on the Mark Tauscher first pitch. On the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776, Joe and the Boonies. I'm going to give Mark some grace here. This is a man who put his body on the line for well over a decade to protect not only Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers. He got all tore up and paid for it physically. Being disappointed in him is a bad look, Benjamin. We're talking about a first pitch right now.
He wasn't asked to block 10 plays of Myles Garrett.
We're talking about me disappointed in a first pitch.
He got asked to throw a ball 60 feet.
I know. That's why I'm saying this. I'm done now. Because if we're going to be doing the protection thing, I'm done.
I agree. He's a legend. We love Tauschi.
But I got it.
It was bad.
It was bad. I don't know why we're hiding from it. Like, it was horrible. That's it. Like, there's no, that doesn't mean he, oh no, he's no longer a Packer Hall of Famer. Oh no, he's not amazing from 9 to noon every single day on Wilde and Tausch. Mm. He still is all of those things. But I can't sit here and be a fraud and not call out bad and not live in the bad because it was bad. Fair?
It was bad.
And I rest my case. Ben Brust, Alex Strofe, no Kyle Wallace and Brad Nortman. Chris is running the show, Chris Larson. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. So what I have loved from Brad Nerdman, who is still home with their newborn baby, big congrats to them, is he's looked back the last 4 to 5 years at the Super Bowl contenders, right? The Super Bowl contestants. And what do those teams that make it from the NFC and the AFC have in common? Are obviously, right, a lot of all pros. You're typically going to win more games, have a better seed, typically, not always the case, and make your way to the Super Bowl if you have the best players. Right now, 2-0, beat the Lions and Commanders. Lions obviously won 15 games last year, the year prior, went to the NFC Championship game. Last year, Commanders, fun story, Jaden Daniels basically was the darling of the NFL after he stomped the Lions and then They kind of got stomped. But overall, you're playing two formidable teams right off the gate, week one, week two. So I'm going to say to myself, that's a good enough sample size for us to start thinking about when the odds reflect the Packers being a true Super Bowl contender, when our eyes tell us, when the defense shows us, when you're winning by double digits in all these games. Who are your... It doesn't have to be five right now, but maybe who are your locks right now and who's on your radar for potential all-pros for this Green Bay Packer team?
Okay, let's.
I know we're going way ahead here, but I'm okay with it.
Let's
and
just
you can let us know as well, 800-990-3776.
So let's just start with the locks, because I only think there's one. I think there's one lock on this, and it's Micah Parsons. I think he's currently the front runner. He is the betting favorite right now for Defensive Player of the Year. We've seen the difference he's made for this defense. They are one of two defenses in the National Football League to not allow a touchdown in the first half for two games this season. He's second in the league in sacks. He's been absolutely transformative for what this Packers defense is all about, despite it already without him being a good defense. So my only lock of an all-pro through 2 weeks is Micah Parsons as long as he stays healthy. I think there's at least four other guys who, if the season ended today, and I know it's super early, but through 2 weeks, I think there's four other guys who would be heavily considered, if not on the all-pro list. Let's start with the only offensive player I have. That's Tucker Kraft. I think Tucker Kraft, in terms of tight ends, he's second in the league in receiving yards right now. Third in the league by 1 yard to Brock Bowers. In receiving yards, he's got 140 receiving yards in the two games. I know a lot of them were accumulated Thursday against...
I get it.
Washington, but a terrific game. And we've kind of theorized, can this be a coming out year for Tucker Kraft? Can he elevate himself and his name into the top five, top four tight end conversations? I would say through 2 weeks he's done that. I would say Tucker Kraft has done that.
Can I add on to Tucker Kraft real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
These are selected by voters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that statistics, especially at the tight end position, matter as much. Do they matter? Yes. But a tight end is, like, if you're a football writer, hopefully you understand that what Tucker Kraft is doing, he's moving guys every play. The guy loves hitting people. He loves making holes for Josh Jacobs. He loves playing the tight end position where it's not just glory of what I can do catching the football, but moving bodies and crushing skulls. And that's been evident through 2 weeks. So I would give him a leg up on Brock Bowers as well, based off of how he's played the position as a whole.
Yeah, I would say I don't have any other offensive names on my list, but I would imagine somebody on that line very well could be, whether it be Elton Jenkins. Zach Tom's now injured, Aaron Banks now injured, so I would guess Elton Jenkins probably the front runner on the offensive line. If this offense continues to do what they have been, somebody on that line is going to be all pro. So my guess would go Elton Jenkins. All right, let's go to the defense. So I mentioned Micah Parsons as a lock. He's one of three defenders I have on this list. Number two, I have Keyshawn Nixon.
Come on.
Who leads the league in pass deflections through 2 weeks?
I hear you. I guess we're again, this exercise of finding all pros through 2 weeks is a very small sample size.
Keyshawn Nixon.
You can only go with what is in front of us.
Keyshawn Nixon has been terrific. This Packers defense as a whole has been terrific. And obviously he you know, gets a lot of openings due to the addition of Micah Parsons and how quickly that defensive line is getting to the opposing quarterback, whether it be Goff or Daniels through 2 weeks. But I guess we talked about it earlier in the week. We all owe Keyshawn Nixon an apology. When he self-proclaimed or when he self-anointed himself CB1 at the end of last season, we all said, what's this guy doing? Like, you're an all-pro kick returner. Why are we
actions
talking about being
CB1? Louder than words, and right now the actions are backing that up.
Leads the league in pass deflections through 2 weeks. So Keyshawn Nixon is on my list. Edgerrin Cooper leads this team in tackles. He is tied for third in the league at 22 tackles through 2 weeks. He's been awesome. If you are looking at a play when the Packers defense is on the field, all of a sudden you see, oh, there's number 56. Oh, there's number 56. Oh, there's number 56. Because Edgerrin Cooper's all over the damn field. So Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, we know how highly we all think of him. Edgerrin Cooper is my third name on the defense. Here's my fifth name if the All-Pro team was selected today.
Daniel Whalen.
You brought up Brad Nortman and how he brought up, you know, usually Super Bowl teams have about five All-Pros. Are you aware that Daniel Whalen leads the NFL in average punt through 2 weeks?
What's his net, though? That's the big.
Well, he's punted, like, I think it's seven times, which is not dramatically behind anybody, right? I think the average is about eight or nine times for the first 2 weeks. He's punted seven times. He leads the league in average. He's got the third longest punt in the league this year. I'm
powerful.
Saying, Daniel Wheeler, the punter, on my list. That's my five.
Yeah, okay. I knew you were going somewhere weird with number five because I had wrote down Cooper, Parsons, Kraft, and those were like the three like that I really thought were worth mentioning. And then Keyshawn Nixon through 2 weeks, you're already getting on YouTube here. Nixon isn't that good. Well, here's the thing. He may not be Revis Island. He may not be Marshawn Lattimore in his prime. He may not be Richard Sherman. He may not be that guy. But that's why Micah Parsons unlocked something so big from an opportunity standpoint from this defense. Because now what was Quay Walker having to play uber aggressive, he now can maybe take a half second longer to read the defense and then attack. You know what I mean? Like everything becomes easier. Keyshawn Nixon can sit back and jump routes because the quarterback doesn't have time to let routes develop for his wide receivers. And that's why we're seeing him jump in and get those pass breakups. So, I mean, Micah Parsons, as you mentioned, is the front running odds for the defensive player of the year. And it's because of what he, his ability to get his own numbers in limited snaps. He's top 10 in pressures. He's already in top 10 in pressures and not playing as much as he will as the season progresses. And with that, everyone else is benefiting on this defense. We haven't even talked about Xavier McKinney because guess what? Xavier McKinney so far hasn't had to do much.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's in front of this defense.
He hasn't been asked to do much is the thing.
Other than keep them grounded by saying we haven't done bleep.
Correct.
And people have started, teams have started 2-0 and found their way all the way in the late latter part of the season and not been the team they need to be to win a Super Bowl. So he's playing leader right now. He doesn't be an all-pro to have an impact on this team because we know he is an all-pro in his DNA. We've seen it on the field.
Yeah, and look, Myles Garrett, who the Packers will see this week, is really damn good. He leads the league in sacks for 2 weeks. He's got 3.5. That's two more than Parsons. Parsons only has 1.5 sacks. But again, his DNA, his fingerprints are all over the success of this defense for 2 weeks. They are creating as much chaos as they are because of the addition of Micah Parsons. Don't get it twisted. You might see the name Rashawn Gary pop up more. He has a full sack more than Micah Parsons for 2 weeks at 2.5. You know, you've seen Devontae Wyatt get back there. That whole line is benefiting, but so are the linebackers. So are Quay and Cooper. So are the defensive backs. Like you just pointed it out. You haven't heard much of Xavier McKinney's name. Because you haven't needed to. You've heard Keyshawn Nixon's name because he batted down every pass thrown in his direction last week, which is an absurd thought. All five passes thrown in his direction last week, he batted away. That never happens in the NFL. But he's been very, very good through 2 weeks. But everybody's a beneficiary of the addition of Micah Parsons.
And everyone is a beneficiary of the great service of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin when they call 855-PELLA-WI or visit PellaWI.com and get 0% interest for up to 5 years. I actually put money, you know, that Gina Della might throw a better pitch than Mark Tauscher, who loves Gina as well, even if she was on the mound at American Family Field. But Tausch loves Gina. I love Gina. Gina loves all of us, and she'll love all of you. And you'll love her. Like it's this world needs more love, as you say, Stroh.
Yes, exactly.
Gina provides that.
Yes, she
does. With her energy and enthusiasm about life and the products that she provides homes. But you'll feel that love when you invest in those windows and doors and get 0% interest for up to 5 years and save an energy cost. Your home value will go up and you'll love everything about a consultation. I didn't think I could enjoy learning about windows, but when you reach a certain point in your age, you're like, oh, I'm looking at my house and I need this. You want to learn. You want to know what you're investing in, and they educate you on everything they've done with Pella being a business around for over 100 years. So check out PellaWI.com and get 0% interest for up to 5 years if you order by the end of the month. Well, we heard from Jaden Reed yesterday on Instagram Live. Pack is to the bowl.
Pack is to the bowl, bruh.
Anesthesia can make you say some things, but we did learn from Rob Domofsky that it wasn't just a clavicle injury. Had a foot surgery as well.
Well, we actually learned from Jaden Reed. He tweeted that.
Oh, he tweeted
the source was Jaden Reed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, my source was Rob Domofsky from the source Jaden Reed. My point is, what opportunity does this unlock for the Packers offense with Jaden Reed out? Next. Jaden Reed went under a successful surgery on foot and clavicle.
Surgeries.
Yeah, you're right.
Those are different incisions.
They could have cut him all the way up, all the way down, you know, and just did it all. I was wondering.
You think they just sliced open?
No, I don't think that. But do they? Can they operate like someone up top and someone down low?
You know that
at the same time.
Where's our YouTube doctor? He would know the answer.
Good call. Like if you're getting two surgeries done.
Yeah.
He's probably under the whole time, but yeah. I'm wondering if they can operate at the same time up top and down low.
I would guess not. Yeah.
And then move to the
That would be my guess,
but it'd be way more efficient.
You're right. He's out for less time. But also,
I wonder why he came out of that surgery feeling really good, because that probably was a long time.
We're going to the bowl, bro.
Chris said, did you make it a hotkey for Chris?
I did, yeah.
Do you know what you labeled it as? Because
my hotkey page key is a mess. It's a yellow button with a black text.
Saying?
I think it says bowl, bro, or something like that.
To the bowl, there it is. Bro.
Hey, we found it. That was Jaden Reed coming out of anesthesia yesterday. Now, what opportunity does this present to you, Alex Stroh, for the Green Bay Packers?
Well, so two things come to mind. Number one is I think this opens the door even more than it already was for Matthew Golden in the near future, right? Because Matthew Golden, I discovered something, as many people did, for the very first time. You ever heard of the ass rating?
It's like the separation score.
Yeah, it's the average separation score.
Yeah.
The number one player for average separation score
is
in
Matthew
the National
Golden.
Football League for 2 weeks is Matthew Golden, despite only having two catches for 16 yards. And Dusty Evely over at Acme Packing Company did a great article breaking down a bunch of routes for Matthew Golden. And the dude is so fast, so ahead of the normal pace of a guy at his level, despite no production yet. Right. So I think the opportunity for him is super, super exciting, and he's trending at a really good pace. I'm not worried about the only two catches. Unless you're playing him on your fantasy team, you should have zero worries about Matthew Golden, because it is going to come. And yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, Jordan Love talked about that at length, that he says, I'm so excited for what's coming for Matthew Golden. So, well, a ton of opportunity for him right out of the gates is one of the two things I'm excited for.
And I agree with that one, and we've hit on it a little bit, but again, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love aren't dummies. You know, like they know these things, because I think it was the first touchdown to Kraft over the middle that was a dot from Jordan Love.
Against the Lions, yeah.
That Matthew Golden was wide open heading to on a little post corner to the right.
Even on Thursday, he missed him on what was it, like a 94-yard touchdown down the sideline, and then the one over the middle where
Correct.
He threw it just short was another touchdown. So
and those are going to come.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about Matthew Golden. In fact, this is only, you never root for injury, but this is going to put him on the field more. It just is.
Yeah, and we've seen this from the Green Bay Packers wide receiver core in the past. As you got Ben Bruss and Alex Stroh, no Kyle Wallace or Brad Nortman, 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. We've seen this before, where when a guy goes out, it provides an opportunity for another. Mm-hmm. Right? Christian Watson went out, and we've seen others take advantage of that opportunity.
I'm glad he brought up that name.
I know that you wanted to go there. I'm not no dummy.
What the Packers are going to have at their disposal come December in the playoffs is a fully healthy Christian Watson, who, by the way, and Josh DiMaggio said this earlier today, the way people are acting around Christian Watson, who we might not see for another month, or probably won't see for another month, is like he's the healthiest guy ever. You've seen the quotes and the reports of him running and stuff. Like, he sounds like a superhuman coming off of that ACL tear last year. So you will get him back at some point midseason, and you're going to get Jaden Reed back probably towards the definite back half of the season. You're going to have two solid to good weapons, especially come speed, available for you at the end of the season, and then ultimately the playoffs. Christian Watson and Jaden Reed will not be dealing with that foot bugaboo he was either, that Jones fracture, because he was just going to play through it. That got fixed yesterday in that surgery. So you're going
to have...
I will never get sick of hearing that. Jaden Reed, Christian Watson both going to be healthy, and the Matthew Golden opportunity I'm just jacked about. So despite the fact that the Packers don't, at least through 2 weeks, have a definite number one receiver, Jordan Love's got all the weapons at his disposal, and this offense could look really, really fun come playoff time.
Man, this is a vicious cycle. 2 years ago, it was this committee thing's awesome.
Yep.
Last year, it was let's find our number one wide receiver.
I still feel that way, though.
Why? I used to, but now I'm like, what does it matter if you have good enough players? Is it just from a situational standpoint?
Yeah.
Because I actually think that the situations where Aaron Rodgers relied on Davante Adams too much was ultimately the downfall in
that one season,
him missing open guys because he's so fixated on his number one target.
Yeah, that,
and
that 21
if Jordan
game,
Love
yeah.
can go through his progressions and just find the open receiver because they all are finding their way open or being schemed open, then who the hell cares if it's Tucker Kraft or Dontavian Wicks or Romeo Dobbs or Jaden Reed or Matthew Golden or Christian Watson or Malik Heath, who made a catch? Like, again,
catch, yeah.
I'm literally going down the list of players because they've all made plays so far this season or have the opportunity to.
Just to confirm, you have reverted back to the 2 years ago take.
Yes.
Okay. I respect it. Look, and I don't know
because
if that's necessarily
wrong. Because not all of them are
going to be here. I think what can help your case there is the fact that at least through 2 weeks, it seems like this is a defense-first team. Right. Their defense can bail them out. Their defense can get crucial stops. Their defense, you know, I think the Washington game is a good example. Offense couldn't get rolling on the first drive. They got the first half kickoff. Washington's offense comes on the field, boom, three and out. And then the Packers drive 96 yards for the first touchdown of the game and have an early lead despite both teams being on offense. Because that fast start thing for the offense was a bugaboo last year. And that goes back to the point that I'm going to make where I would still like to see somebody emerge as the go-to guy, the number one receiver, if you will, or pass catcher, if that becomes Tucker Kraft. But through 2 weeks, your case has more evidence. It's not necessary, right? You look at Tucker Kraft.
Until it stops working, don't force it.
Tucker Kraft had a huge week, too. Romeo Dobbs has kind of been that security blanket. And now, again, that's
but
another guy
when we
guy
say security blanket, he's made some really big plays. Well,
that's
like,
what
not
I'm saying.
Not just like a third and six, get like 8 yards. He's he's making some big plays. They're all making big plays in their own right. Even Jaden Reed, who got hurt on a play that was called back, made another big play.
Yeah,
so they've all had moments.
Three receptions through two games of over 35 yards. They've been made by Malik Heath, Romeo Dobbs, and Tucker Kraft.
And Matthew Golden probably should have had one of those.
Or two, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. At least one of those, because I'm not going to get greedy. It's like when I play blackjack, I got to teach you this.
You
always ask
me.
For one less, right? If you have 13 and you need 8 for 21, I always ask for a 7. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like a good way to go about it, because if you get the 8, you're happy, and you're happy with the 20.
This just sounds like a mental game.
No, just ask for one less. Don't get greedy.
I don't think you saying that out loud has anything to do with what card's coming.
It absolutely doesn't, but it's just something I do.
Okay, so
just try it out.
This is like listening to the same three songs during your shoot around prior to a game. Like,
ask for one less. Just ask for one less. It's a polite way to say, like, I'm happy if I get a 20, but if I happen to get one more, I'll get a 21.
Connect the analogy. What does this have to do with the Packers?
I had it, and then now I just got really into gambling. Okay. And now I want to go play blackjack at the weekly before the weekly wager from 6 to 7. At Potawatomi Sportsbook. Uh-oh. Joint bank account.
Oh, wait, already?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
What do you mean? We got married and I...
Well, yeah, when you get married, the bank doesn't just go, ring, ring. Hello, is this Ben Brust? Yes, it is. By the way, just so you know, your finances are automatically tied to your wife now. That's not how that works. When did it happen?
By the way, it's been a big pain in the ass.
Why?
Going into every, like, your insurance and this, and if you have auto pay, you got to switch the source of the payment of EFT.
I know we got to get to a break, but I have a question. So, this whole marriage thing.
You sound so ready.
I am. So this whole marriage thing. How you just called it a giant pain in the ass, but I'm thinking of like
not marriage. I'm talking about moving.
Sorry, listen to me. Yeah. Let me finish.
Make sure you say it correctly.
The marriage thing. You've already practically been married, right? You have kids. You live together. You've knocked out all the like situational stuff, but now it's the logistical stuff. So it's the bank accounts. It's the name changes. It's the ID updates, et cetera.
I got the text about an identity crisis yesterday.
An identity crisis or her actual identity?
No,
she's having a crisis.
You go by one name for 30 years of your life.
Wait,
no, she's going to. It's just, you know, could you imagine someone telling you you're changing your name right now?
What about like professionally? That's a whole different conversation. Maybe we should have her on to discuss this.
I actually agree. She'd love to.
Okay. She's welcome anytime.
I'll check on her availability and see if she can come to the studio.
I do have some questions for her because anyway. So, but for you, from your perspective, the joint bank account process, the whatever else you need to do, right? I'm imagining like there's loans that now fall under her name or whatever, right? That were under you or vice versa. How often are you working on this? Is this an everyday thing?
I try and knock out like one or two things, getting everything together every night.
So how long is on that? How long is that list?
It's in a spreadsheet. I don't know why you're asking me these. I can show you offline.
No, but I'm curious. I'm lying.
I don't think the audience cares about how I'm handling my finances.
No, no, no. I don't care about how you're handling your finances. I care about how you're handling the things you now need to do together that you previously didn't.
It's a work in progress, buddy.
Long process?
Yeah, everything's a process.
Stop being mature. Just talk to me.
800-990-3776. Do you want to hear about joint bank accounts and things that are being moved into a married couple's name, like Alex Stroff does? I have a feeling no one's going to say yes. But I've been getting a lot of texts and YouTube comments here, and they all go to the same thing, the Cleveland defense.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
But I want to talk about why I'm not worried about it. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. You got me brainwashed, you got me so lost, you got me hooked up
like you. You got me drugged up, you got me hooked up. All right, so I get it. Myles Garrett's a beast. There's no doubt about it. I watched too much of the Browns-Ravens game. Because I'm just a big four-box YouTube TV Sunday ticket guy.
Oh, you invest in the ticket, huh?
I would never... I'm not one to be like, I'm like anti-Red Zone, because I think if you like Red Zone, like,
yeah,
that's your thing. For me, I like watching the games I bet on. I like watching the players that I have in like the fantasy leagues, and I like watching as many games as possible until the Packers are on.
Mm.
So for me, I think there is a little bit of a flaw in thinking that, like, oh, I just want to see all the scoring plays. I like watching the drives develop.
Agree.
So, like, that's why I'm not anti-red. You want to be Red Zone? You be Red Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I like watching, like, drives develop and seeing, like, who is going to get the snap share of the running back, you know, like, for fantasy or for whatnot. And I knew the Packers were playing the Browns, and I was like, all right, the Ravens are 12-point favorites against the Browns on the road as a divisional game. So I'm shocked that the Packers seem to have a much lower line than the Ravens, because I think at 7.5, you should absolutely take the Packers.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know why it is 5 points lower than the Ravens, because when I watched that game, yes, the Cleveland defense was good, but what the Ravens defense was able to do, and they're not the Packers defense. They're obviously a great defense. Mm-hmm. They've been historically good. Second year defensive coordinator. We talked about this on Monday. You heard me. Joe Flacco shouldn't be out there. He can't move.
No.
And we're talking about Devontae Wyatt with 11 pressure for the Packers. We're talking about Micah Parsons with 10. We're talking about actually Rashawn Gary and Elvion looking like actual football players that can take advantage of their matchups. Joe Flacco can't move. All he can do is throw to David Njoku and Fannin, their young tight end that they love, over the middle. It's going to be a massacre. And guess what?
Yeah, I don't think it'll
be close. He's not going to have enough time to throw deep balls to Jerry Jeudy down the sideline. He's just not. So when I look at this game, I think, yes, like, the Cleveland defense is good, but the Packers offense is 10x of the Cleveland offense. And I just think, like, again, are they going to win 40-10? I think we all want them to. Probably not.
Probably
it's not. The first road test, and it is a good defense. Myles Garrett, I watched him go by Justice Hill on third down and literally flick him like a bug, and then go by the left tackle and get to Lamar Jackson, who's one of the most elusive quarterbacks in the NFL. There's going to be times where it's going to be tough for Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
But the Packers have shown that they can run the ball at Josh Jacobs. I know they got a stout run defense, but that's not going to stop Matt LaFleur from changing the identity of establishing the run. It's been a little bit weird. They did it in the second half of one game, did it in the first half of the next game. He's going to establish the run, and Jordan Love has made pretty good decisions, and Matt LaFleur's scheme guys open. So at this point, I have no reason to be concerned that the Cleveland Browns defense is going to be the reason why the Packers lose a football game. Because on the other side, I think what our friends at ESPN Cleveland should be talking about is not just Micah Parsons, but the whole defense. All I'm hearing is Myles Garrett. They should be talking about the whole defense of the Green Bay Packers that have shined through 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's without a doubt, that Myles Garrett is one of, if not the best defensive player in the National Football League. He's that good. He's a game wrecker. He's really, really, really good. But that's about my only fear when it comes to Cleveland, and that does not equal a fear of losing this football game. Packers defense as a whole is really good. The Packers offense has looked really good. I have, number one, I mean, not that you've seen anything in the last two decades impressive from the Browns, but through two games, I haven't seen anything that impressive from the Browns outside of Myles Garrett. Now, they have some pieces on that defense that might give the Packers a little, the Packers offense, that is, a little bit of trouble. But this is about as big of a gimme as the Packers have left on their schedule. And by the way, they have the Carolina Panthers left on their schedule. I don't fear the Browns at all. So I agree with your point on it's a 7.5-point spread. Give me the Packers to cover. I think they definitely win more than a touchdown. Have you ever seen the NFL Circle of Life thing? Like, as we get into later in the season, it's like the Wheel of Victory. Every team's beaten every team type thing. You know what I'm talking
about?
I haven't,
but I can obviously imagine, you know, with the week-to-week league that it is.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do that through 2 weeks in my head a little bit. So this is a Browns team that scored 16 points against the Bengals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a Browns team that scored 17 points against the Ravens. Now, the Bills scored 41 points against the Ravens defense. Obviously, a much better offense.
Yep.
But the Browns only scored 17 against a defense that is not viewed nearly as good as the Packers in 2025 and the Ravens. The Lions scored 13 points on the Packers defense.
Mm-hmm.
They then went on to score 52 points against the Bears defense, which has a lot of money invested into it. So what I'm calculating in my head with this circle of NFL through week two is that final score, Packers 31, Browns 7. That's what I got.
I don't know if that all connected.
Oh, it hit the mark.
Did that hit the mark? 800-990-3776.
Big brain stuff. I know you can't always relate.
No, I can. Trust me. But like, once you brought the Lions in there and the Bears, I didn't know how that connected anymore.
What do you mean?
How did the Lions and Bears connect to the
Browns?
The
Packers because the Packers defense only allowed 13 against the Lions, and then the Bears defense only allowed 52. So I'm looking at the Browns against two teams that have allowed points. And I mean, the Bengals have a bad defense. The Ravens defense is fine. Yada, yada. 31-7 is what I reach.
Again, if you feel that way, run to Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
I think I might go to Pottawatomie and do an exact score bet. I think I'm seeing the light of day here, Benny. My brain is starting to tweak out a little bit. Okay. I think I got it. I'm out of my vision. 31-7.
31-7 from Alex Strof. I went from Kyle Wallace to Slappy 1 to Slappy 2.
Is it Sloppy?
He is Sloppy. That's right.
It was Slappy and Sloppy with Tori Lowe yesterday on Tori Lowe Tuesday. If you missed that, find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. In the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, look, I know I'm a homer. Obviously, I've got the green and gold goggles. Chewy calls me a toad. All the in-betweens. Probably accurate. But again, I use the example so many times on this show after week one, after the win over the Lions. Like, it is week one. Sometimes week one can be a little fluky. But then we saw what they did to the Commanders in week two. And despite that becoming, for a very brief moment, a one-possession game at the beginning of the fourth quarter when it was 17-10, Packers got the ball back, and it was just purely dominant the whole game. Now, what I love about this team, and we heard from Xavier McKinney on the show yesterday, it just doesn't feel like there's any complacency. I feel like Matt LaFleur walked out of two big wins going, yeah, it just wasn't good enough. The offense didn't keep the foot on the gas the entire game, so hopefully this is a good opportunity for the Packers to do so on Sunday.
They will have that opportunity, and I guess people do want to give financial advice to me and what to do with bank accounts and joint or separate. So I'm reading them on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison, and people are agreeing with Michael. So I'm going to have to read Michael's, but it's a little late to go backwards. I've put all this work right now. I don't know if I'm going backwards anymore. In 2 minutes, though, you have a lot of gratitude today. A
lot of gratitude. It's a great day. You always say it's a great day to be alive. Today is a great day to be alive.
Strof has a lot of gratitude for a lot of executives and coaches in the NFL. They all have something to do with the Green Bay Packers. I'll tell you, if Strof is, he's going to power rank. I'm going to make you power rank the people in your life that you have gratitude for on the other side in 2 minutes. So you ready for that?
The people in my life I have gratitude for. Yes, I'm ready.
I better be number one. In 2 minutes.